friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Athletics Federation of Nigeria is holding trials in Benin City for next month's World Championships in Budapest. One of the Nigerian athletes who has booked her ticket to Budapest is this reigning world champion and world record holder in the women's 100-meter hurdles.
Sporty greetings. This is Toby Mission. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Toby, for some insights into the Benin City trials. Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the president of the Nigerian Coaches Association, Gabriel Opwana.
So far, so good. We're on the track. We're on track. Everything is going on so fine. No issues. And before we came here, even though 4 out of the 5 athletes I brought have qualified, to grace the occasion, we're all here to compete. And like I said, so far, so good. Everything has been going on without any issue.
This year's edition of the World Athletics Championship is scheduled for Budapest, Hungary. What are the chances of Team Nigeria, given the fact that last year in the U.S., Nigeria's Toby Amuso set a new world record? So what are the chances for Team Nigeria in this year's championship?
Like I always say, I happen to be one of the very few that don't predict, because Toby Amuson's world record, nobody saw it coming. We never saw her setting a world record. As a matter of fact, we were only saying, we all prayed she gets into the finals, and not just getting into the finals, she had a new world record, you know. So we going back to Budapest this time around. Well, apart from the fact that everybody has been training, it also comes with luck. We pray on the day these athletes will be running, let it be their day. Because sometimes, no matter how you train, some people will not want to agree with me, but no matter how you train, sometimes when you compete, it comes with luck. If that day happens to be your day, you put in your best. Even when you don't expect it, it will come. And when it comes, oh yeah, yeah. It could be a world record.
What is the Nigerian Coaches Association doing to raise and groom new athletes for future championships?
Yeah, as president of the Nigerian Coaches Association, what I have in mind is to retrain our coaches. Because with these kids, it's what you give to them that they give back to you. And catching them young, if you don't do it right, don't expect to get it right. You have to do the right thing. And doing the right thing is to make sure all these coaches are well-certified, retrained, because coaching these days has gone nuclear. You can't just sit down and expect to get some things on the internet. No.
And when do you hope to start this retraining process?
As I speak with you now, we're trying to get sponsors. I wouldn't want to mention the names of one or two companies we're working with now. We're starting with training about 10 coaches, National Institute for Sports. Next year, next session, we'll be having like 10 coaches. That's where we're starting from. Like I said, with these younger ones coming up, let them get it right from the beginning. Like they said back home, traditionally they say you cannot straighten a dry fish. Once a fish is dry, it's dry. So we don't want you to get to that stage before you start straightening these athletes. We want to get it right from the onset. Onset meaning when it's fresh, young boys, let them get it right from the onset. And hopefully, by the special grace of God, it will take time. In a couple of years, we'll catch up. For now, I will expect you guys to talk to us in the next few years, and hopefully, by the special grace of God, we'll give you updates on how these coaches have been retrained.
That's Gabriel Opuana, the president of the Nigerian Coaches Association. And Coach Gabriel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Benin City, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gabriel Opuana, president of the Nigerian Coaches Association. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Don't stop listening to this channel. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. As Nigeria holds its athletic trials in Benin City, the United States is holding its trials at Hayward Field in the northwest U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. That was also the venue for last year's World Championships. The top three athletes in each event will earn a place on Team USA for the World Championships in Budapest. Anna Hall won a bronze medal in the women's seven event heptathlon at the 2022 World Championships, and she's hoping to win another medal in Budapest.
Just trying to put up some decent marks, get a decent enough score to win the meet, hopefully, and get through. So 1308 was enough, not great. And then high jump, 187. Kind of wanted to make 190 today, but kind of convinced my coaches to let me keep jumping. They wanted me to like get the 184, 187 bar and then just call it because they're trying to have me chill through this, but I wanted to make 190 today, so that was a little frustrating. And then got the shot put PR, finally over 14 meters. That was one of the events that we were trying to focus on for this meet, so really happy with the PR there. And then the 200, just kind of did enough to wrap up the day. This multi has been pretty rapid. I think we got done in less than 4 hours, four events. So I think everybody's a little bit tired. But, yeah, just trying to plug away and punch my ticket.
Plugging away and hoping to punch her ticket to Budapest. That's Anna Hall, the 2022 World Championship bronze medalist in the women's heptathlon. Team USA dominated the medals table at last year's World Championships, winning 33 medals total, more than three times as many as second place Ethiopia, which won 10 medals. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and VOAAfrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to VOAAfrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out VOAAfrica.com.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Francis Tiafo is one of the players who has advanced to the third round at the prestigious Wimbledon Tennis Tournament in England. The AP's Graham Agars tells us more.
American men's seeds Francis Tiafoe and Tommy Paul are both through to the Wimbledon third round. Tiafoe continuing his impressive straight sets run, and Paul beating the former world top tenner Milos Raonic 6-4 in the fourth. Success for the US in the women's draw as well, with the four seed Jessica Pegula and Sophia Kenin both through in straight sets. Kenin successfully following up her first round upset over the seven seed Coco Gauff. Tough losses for other American hopes though, with the nine seed Taylor Fritz, Brian Shelton, Danielle Collins and Sloane Stephens all falling in the second round. I'm Graham Agars.
Come This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. A Swedish golfer is the first round leader at the John Deere Classic Tournament in Silvis, Illinois. George McNeely reports from Silvis.
39-year-old Jonas Blix tied the lowest round of his PGA Tour career, opening with a 9-under par 62, highlighted by a pair of eagles, one of them capped by a 43-foot putt on the par 4 14th here at TPC Deer Run.
62 doesn't happen very often on the PGA Tour, at least not for me, so I'm very happy about it and extremely happy about it.
Hey, Jonas. I want to take you back to March. We're standing on the putting green at Valspar. You were hitting the ball splendidly on the range. You were sinking a lot of putts. It got to be about 11:40, and I asked when your tee time was, and you said, I'm an alternate. What does it mean to have capitalized on this opportunity you have here, thinking back to how tough it's been?
I had like a back surgery in 19, and since then I haven't really gotten back to where I want to be. And I feel like I've been making small strides one at a time, and some weeks they work out. Hopefully this week it will, but you know, it's just the first round, so I got three more to go and anything can happen.
Sweden's Jonas Blix, following a stellar opening round of the John Deere Classic, where magic has been known to happen and usually pairs nicely with perseverance and hard work. To give you a sense of how popular this 52nd annual event is, first-year tournament director Andrew Lehman says organizers are completely sold out of grounds passes for weekend play. How about that?
For us to have the place sold out, to understand that this place will be packed on 18 as we finish up golf on the CBS broadcast on national television is so important, not only for the tournament and the community, but for John Deere as a title sponsor. And it just really speaks again to, you know, the most engaged community on the PGA Tour, really understanding, you know, an investment in our product to make sure that we give the best spectator experience.
Which Lehman says includes weekend concerts following golf on both Saturday and Sunday here in the heartland, the Quad Cities, bordering the states of Iowa and Illinois, at the only annual PGA Tour event in the land of Lincoln. For the Sunny Side of Sports, from the John Deere Classic, I'm George McNeely in Silvis, Illinois.
Thanks, George. Reporting from the land of Lincoln, that's George McNeely.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week, for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the world. Give us 5 minutes, and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
South Africa's national women's football team, nicknamed Banyana Banyana, is looking forward to its second Women's World Cup appearance. We have a team profile now from Myron Nika in Durban, and then Samson Omale will have more Banyana Banyana news.
The African champions dance and belt out Amakwijo, a Xhosa practice of collective singing embedded in African culture. South Africa will arrive at the FIFA Women's World Cup full of exuberance and hope. The team, coached by former national captain Desiree Ellis, has developed a steely approach since their World Cup debut in France 4 years ago. Banyana Banyana have been preparing for the tournament since winning the Women's Africa Cup of Nations in Morocco last year. Ellis recently named a strong 23-player team for the tournament, anchored by veterans Noko Matlu and Refelwe Jane.
The World Cup is the biggest stage for any individual to participate in, and it's also where you want to test yourself, where you want to, you know, people to remember you, where players are scouted. So, you know, we want to go there, having gone to our first one and not getting the results we wanted, and going there and wanted to really put up a good performance. You know, like I said, this team has matured tremendously over the last year and a half and has played really, really well and gotten better. The players have gotten better because it really allows us to push them to the next level. You spoke about WAFCON and World Cup being two completely levels, and it definitely is, and our training has been geared towards that, you know, and the players have been absolutely magnificent.
Banyana Banyana have been drawn in Group G, the proverbial group of death, alongside Argentina and European giants Italy and Sweden. It'll no doubt be a baptism of fire for the youngsters in the squad, with Ellis including uncapped striker Wendy Shongwe, as well as goalkeeper Kebotseng Moletsane, who's played only once for the senior team. Ellis admits that it will be tough to navigate their way out of the group, but remains confident they can carry their learnings from the last 4 years into the tournament.
It's important when you go to a tournament, players have individual goals, we have team goals, and I think any team that goes to a tournament wants to do well. And even though it's our second World Cup, we also have ambition. Yes, it's a tough group, but we know how well we can play. And those are some of the things that we've been thinking about to try and get out of the group stage, because we feel we have a team that can possibly do that. It's tougher this time around, though. In 2019, the top two and the two best third place. Now there's no best third place. It's got to be top two. So we got to make sure, that we get a positive result in the first game, and we'll take it game by game, then concentrate on the next one and the next one.
It's a sentiment shared by team captain Refelwe Jane.
A lot of lessons were taken from the previous encounter of the FIFA Women's World Cup. So we go into this one a little bit more experienced. The experience that we got from the previous one, including also the Women's AFCON. So we go there better players and better human beings. So we're hoping that we can even come back with better results from the previous time.
Jane, a veteran of 132 caps, plays her football in Italy for Sassuolo. She says the team accepts the expectation on their shoulders, given their status as continental champions.
Going into the World Cup, all eyes will be on South Africa. They will want to see what is it that you have to showcase. It's pressure. It's welcomed. Football is a sport of pressure. So we will do what we have to do. We will not dwell on the past results or previous tournaments. We go out there with so much experience, and we're hoping that we can even showcase that in our performances.
Banyana Banyana, who will be based in Wellington in New Zealand, will wrap up their preparations with a game against Costa Rica next Saturday. It'll present one last chance for Ellis and her charges to ready themselves for the battle ahead.
Look, we don't want to give too much away because we know our next game is Sweden. But we will use that also to see, you know, what we still need to do, because that will be the last friendly before that. But we will try not to give too much away, because we know they will be watching. But we'll be working extensively in training on how we want to play. And when we look at that friendly, there's still a couple of days before our first game. And then we'll have to see what we still need to do or need to do before we're absolutely ready for that first game.
They start their campaign against Sweden, who are ranked third in the world, on the 23rd of July.
We've played Sweden, I don't know how many times, a couple of times. And it's always an exciting encounter when we play them. And playing them in the first game is not going to be easy. We have to make sure that we set the pace, we set the standard. And a good performance or a good result against Sweden will kind of give us the motivation to advance.
Banyana Banyana have enjoyed a competitive training camp. But just this week, their preparations were disturbed due to an impasse between the players and South Africa's National Federation, SAFA. The main issue at hand was around finances and contractual agreements based on their participation at the World Cup. SAFA have since confirmed they've reached an agreement with the players, paving the way for them to head into the competition with their focus firmly intact. Stand by, the Queens of Africa are on their way. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Nyker in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. With more on that now-resolved Banyana Banyana pay dispute, here's Samson Omale. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sonny. It's barely 13 days before the start of the Women World Cup being co-hosted by Australia and New Zealand. For one of Africa's representatives, Banyana Banyana of South Africa, it was a chaotic week of uncertainty, highlighted by a boycotted match and pay dispute. It appears all that is settled now and the final group of Banyana Banyana players heading to the FIFA Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand finally left the country on Thursday. President of the South African Football Players Union, Tulangayo Goshubulewe, says all matters in contention have been settled.
I think they are ready. They are well prepared because all other issues, underlining issues, have been addressed and we are expecting them. We'll see them on the 20th here with the gold medals and stuff. So we're happy. We're very excited.
Playing in their second World Cup finals, South Africa opened their account at the tournament on the 23rd of July when they faced Sweden in Wellington. Banyana Banyana coach Destry Ellis told reporters at the team's hotel shortly before their departure that lessons have been learned and that they are prepared to better their performance.
I think we all know what's the task at hand. We all know how big it is. We've been in the situation before, a little bit wiser, a little bit more mature. And this team has done amazing things in the past, and I believe that they will do more amazing things. They know what's at stake. They know what they want to do. They know where they want to go to. You know, players have individual goals. We have goals as a team. And we believe we can get out of the group stage, and it starts with that first game to get a positive result. You know, Sweden are top side, did well at the Olympics, lost in the semifinals of the Euros. Came third at the World Cup in 2019, so a top side. We've played them many times. They have the same coach, have top players. But I think our players have also gotten better, so it's really going to be an exciting game.
Staying with the Women's World Cup, the Super Falcons of Nigeria are currently in Australia as they prepare for the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup. The Super Falcons are in Group B alongside host team Australia, Republic of Ireland and Canada. Before the team's departure, the ladies were hosted to a lavish dinner wherein the president of the Nigerian Football Federation, Ibrahim Gusau, encouraged the girls to make Nigeria and Africa proud at the tournament.
You are aware of all that we have done to ensure that we give them good preparation. So that's why we are making every preparation to make sure that they are in Australia at least 18 days before their first match. And that is what we are doing. So as far as we are concerned, we know we did our best. They were in Japan, they were in Mexico, they were in Turkey, and then in Australia. Now they are going to play about two friendly matches before the commencement of the tournament. So we are doing our best.
Ashishat Oshoala, Barcelona forward and a key member of the team, is optimistic that the Super Falcons will not disappoint at the World Cup.
Personally, I feel like we have a good team. If everything is being done right, I think this team can actually go far at the upcoming World Cup. But of course, regardless of whatever, we're still going to go out there, fight as always, do our job and see what we can do. I think we have a very strong, a mentally strong players. You know, we've been through a lot, even in the hardest moment. We still go out there to fight and still come off good, you know. The motivation has always been there. Maybe not gone up as expected, or better than as expected. But I mean, we've always been a strong side mentally.
The Uganda women's national football team, the Crested Cranes, will face off with Tanzania this Friday in an international build-up game at the Omondi Stadium in Lugogo. The Crested Cranes are preparing for their upcoming game against Rwanda in the 2024 Women's Olympic Qualifiers. The Crested Cranes, who have been in camp for a week, will use the march to get in shape for the two-legged Olympic qualifiers. Ayub Kiingi is the assistant coach of the Crested Cranes.
We've had two friendly matches against their fellow countrymates. I mean, those girls we've been selecting. But I think now playing an international friendly puts them the exact picture of the game they're going to play in Rwanda. They need to begin feeling the way they're supposed to feel when they're going for an international match.
The Crested Cranes opponent, Twiga Stars coach Bakari Shime, says the friendly would test both sides' strengths and weaknesses.
When you train, you need a game to see your preparation is going. So, all of all, I hope it will be a good chance for us to see strengthen and weakness of our squad.
Same with football news. With about 6 months left before the 2023 AFCON finals, the local organizing committee and the Confederation of African Football are set to unveil the mascot of the 2023 AFCA Cup of Nations. Cote d'Ivoire is working extra hard to have a successful hosting of the 34th edition of the biennial competition. The football ruling body is expected to unveil the mascot on Friday, July 7th, 2023 in Ebere Lagoon. The mascot will be unveiled with its generic name, and this will allow it to have the ability to strengthen the visual identity of the 34th edition of the competition. In netball news, head coach of the Uganda national netball team, Fred Mugarawa, has set his target on the She Cranes, making the first or second places in their Group D fixtures alongside New Zealand, Singapore, and Trinidad and Tobago come July 28th to August 6th at the Netball World Cup in South Africa. Mugarawa also believes that through the World Cup, Uganda can better her placement in the World Netball rankings.
So right now we are number 8, and we want to make sure that we go back to number 6 or number 5 if possible. But that is our target. And as we go to South Africa, we have teams that in our group, and our main target, first of all, as a team, is to make sure that we go through that first round, that group stage. And then the rest we shall discuss with the other people in the reach there.
Kenya under-20 rugby national team's talented fly half, Spencer Davies, is gearing up for the Junior Rugby World Trophy Tournament, set to take place in Nairobi at the Nyayo National Stadium in the fourth night. Their opponents in Pool B include Hong Kong, China, Samoa and Spain. Davies and his teammates are laser-focused on the upcoming matches and are eager to showcase their skills and teamwork. England-based Davies, who secured his place in the final squad, is determined to bring his unique style of play to the tournament while also incorporating other styles and showcasing his kicking abilities.
It's a massive privilege, you know, it's not one I take lightly. It's a huge honour and, it's just we're going to give 100% and, it's very motivating and we're looking forward to it. We've got a good group of boys, really good team. We've had some really good coaching. Camp has been fantastic. And we're looking in and we're going in to make a statement. Now we've really spent a lot of time together. This camp has been really good for bonding. So we know how each other, we know how we play with one another.
With Kenya hosting the tournament for the first time since 2009, Kenya under-20 rugby is determined to make their home advantage count. And now to tennis. Tunisian Ons Jabeur and Zhujuan Bao will meet in the second round of the 2023 Tennis Wimbledon on Friday. Ons Jabeur is coming off a straight set win over Magdalena Frech that took 18 games to decide. Jabeur looks to win back-to-back matches for the first time since the French Open, hoping to make the third round of a Grand Slam for the 12th time in her last 14 tries.
Always prepare as much as I can to be 100% ready. The first rounds are always very tough, so I take it one day at a time. I've been having good practices, good hits, and hopefully this level will continue even during the matches.
That's Tunisian tennis star Ons Jabeur, and thanks to Samson Omale for that extra spicy package of African sports news. And that wraps wraps up the July 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.